Welcome back to Juke Joint. I'm Aaron, and that was James Montgomery with Hit the Road Jack. And we've got the great Chris Beard on the line. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Looking forward to my show at the and then Beverly Mass on Friday.
And looking forward to having you up here, too. Well, the first question I have is, you're called the Prince of Blues.
Okay.
So, tell us about that.
Well, early on in my career, before I had a promo for my with the first CD I did in 98, before I did that CD, because I got with a record company out of London, England, which was JSP Records, and so before we released the record, he had assigned me to an agent, and so, you know, the agent had me, you know, touring and traveling and playing places and things like that, and through my travels, you know, New York City, Connecticut, Massachusetts, blah, 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 you know, I picked up that name. Fans start calling me that. It wasn't something that I came up with, you know. It seemed to just stuck after all these years, you know. People would say to me, oh, yeah, well, I hear you, they say you're the Prince of the Blues. And we'll see after your show, you know. then they would come up to me and say, whoa, here you are, you know what I mean? So it just seemed to stick, you know what I mean? And
So you're from, where are you originally from?
Rochester, New York.
I used to live in Rochester a long time ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, I lived
changed quite a bit.
Oh yeah, I would assume so. Since 1965, I think it's changed a little bit.
Oh yeah, it's changed a whole lot since then. Yeah.
So. So let everybody know a little bit about you. Growing up, who'd you listen to? Who were your influences? What made you want to get into blues music?
Well, you know, a lot of people say that. And what I got to say, you know, they say, well, why did you choose the genre of blues? And all I can say to them is that I didn't choose the blues chose me. And because my dad, Joe Beard, who's very familiar in your New England area. You know, he's done CDs with Ronnie Earl, Duke Roblar, and he's played with all those guys. I mean, that's just the guys that live in your area. But, you know, my dad, has played with, you know, back Buddy Guy, Junior Wells, and, you know, and Luther Allen's favorite friend of his, Albert King, and, you know, just all those people. So, you know, I grew up in the household listening to, you know, people like Lightning Hopkins, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, you know, and as I just mentioned, all the other people that my father was connected with. And I met those people. Matt and Tom Murphy, he's like my uncle because he grew up in Mississippi with my dad. And so, you know, I had a lot of interesting people coming around my house as a kid. You know, I got tons of stories, and I got, you know, a lot of information, a lot of things that were shared with me by those people. You know, Allison, Agatha Murphy, like I said, my dad's a traditional blues artist, me, I'm more of a modern, contemporary blues artist, but the roots of the true blues is where I come from. You know, and due to the era of which I was brought up in, you know, kind of says to what the style of blues that I do today. But I never forget where I came from, you know, because it's all about keeping the blues alive from the beginning to now and carrying it over to the other side, you know. So, yeah.
That doesn't hurt to have all of that in your home and all these great artists come through your childhood and even today.
Right, man. And I feel blessed and honored to have had that in my life, you know. And through all of that, my my friends, Bernard, you know, real close friends of mine in the industry. You know, we kind of all grew up together and worked together too. Bernard Allison, Ronnie Baker Brooks, and you know, just all the people of my generation, and we all feel the same way about keeping this wonderful music alive that our dads have you know, started. You know.
So you said you have a lot of stories. Are there any that you can share with us that won't infringe on anything you people told you not to say?
Well, you know, I can say it. Some of them, I'm gonna put a bleep in there. Some things that they said because, you know, these were.
It's not radio friendly.
right, exactly. You know, they were blues artists and you know and good guys and. And old time blues players, and they said what they meant. You know, I don't know. The one story, this is clean here. Matt Guitar Murphy. He said whenever he would come to town, he would stay with us. And I remember, you know, him. You know, when he went to bed, he took his guitar to bed with him. He would be playing the guitar until he fell asleep. And then the next morning, I would like say, "Hey, Matt, you know, why did you go to sleep with your guitar?" And he said to me that, you know, your guitar should become an extension of your body, a part of you. And that's one thing that stuck with me along with other things that he taught me. And Luther Allison, you know, quite a few years ago, he came to town and me and my dad went to the show and he got us both up to, you know, to play with him and sing with him. And, he used to have a Blue Lucille, B.B. King Blue Lucille guitar. And he handed it to me. He reached out and he handed it to me and he said, "Well, play this MF," you know, like that.
Yeah.
And, so I kind of remember those kind of things. And those are cherished moments, you know. And Lonnie Brooks, the great late Lonnie Brooks, you know, I done a show with him. And a few years ago, I would say maybe 7-8 years ago, that was a moment that I'll take down in history too. You know, because those old players, you know the old players, what I know for sure, and me and my friend Ronnie Baker Brooks, Lonnie's son, we always say that, you know, we can play, you know, us newer generation guitar players, we play and you know and everything and. You know, and we'll be sleeping on the older guys, you know, but the bottom line is you can't sleep on them older guys because you may think that you got something on them other guys, but them older guys will come out their bag on you. and they'll show you what they can really do, you know what I mean? So, you know, I always, anybody that's learning to play guitar, blues guitar, I always send them. Don't get me wrong, there are some great new players out and stuff like that, but I always send them back to the masters because it all came from the masters. You know, I mean, you got people that play today. When you hear them, you hear some Albert King licks and they're playing. You hear some Luther Allison, some B.B. King, some Buddy Guy, you know, because those are the people, you know, where it all came from. I mean, even Jimi Hendrix. Which, you know, he was a one that was listening to Buddy Guy, and you know, and Buddy Guy, you know, didn't realize that. I mean, I know I'll tell you a story that, and Buddy told me, you know, when Buddy first heard of back in the day before Buddy really got known, you know, when Jimmy was still alive, he was going through New York and Jimmy was playing someplace, and he walked into the place where Jimmy was playing, Jimi Hendrix was playing, you know, and as he was approaching the stage, Jimmy said, "I know who you are. You're Buddy Guy. I've been listening to you for years." But that shocked Buddy, because you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't realize that, you know, but people like that, you know, that are just, you know, recent, maybe getting their recognition within the last 20 to 30 years have been doing this thing and paying their dues with it for some time. And they're the mentors, they're the followers, and they're the people that we need to look up to as far as blues guitar goes and blues music, period.
So, having all those great people come in and out of your life, and, I mean, being given a guitar, which is basically like passing on, the roots of the blues. That must have knocked you over.
My bad. It knocked me over. It was like couldn't believe that it was happening, that it was real. You know what I mean? It was like so real. You know what I mean? When I look back at the moments, man, at that time, and I still have that respect. I mean, like today, you know, with Buddy Guy, you know, the man's 81 years old, and I did a show with him in Tampa Bay this year in April, and I was talking to him. I went into his dressing room, and I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" It's been a while since I've seen you, since I played in the club. He said, yeah. And I said, yeah, you know, you remember me, Chris Beard, Joe Beard's son. He said, yeah, I know your daddy. Well, what makes you think, Dad, I know you? I said, because, you know, Buddy can be kind of honorary at times, you know. So I said, wait a minute, man, I done played in the club 1,000 times. And I remember when you used to come to my house and eat my mama's cornbread, and then he started laughing. And said, yeah, I know, I was just playing with you. but just things like that, man, and just having the respect to those guys, man, and what they always say, keep the blues alive, you know.
Yeah, I watched the Buddy Guy had a great show that they put together in honor of Eddie Clearwater.
Right.
And I watched that. I had the opportunity to interview Eddie Clearwater about a month before he passed.
He was great, man. He was great, man.
You know, he's working on some new stuff. And I said to him, you know, I said to him, and this is how cool it seemed. I said, please thank your wife for giving us the time to talk to you. And he said, here, you talk to her.
Tell her yourself.
So,
yeah.
Who have you played with, and who would you like to play with in the future that are your favorites?
Oh, man. Well, you know.
Besides your dad.
Okay. But it's always an honor. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to play with my dad all the time. But, you know, anytime. But the, I did an interview for ABS, European magazine, online magazine, a few months ago. And one of the questions that they asked me, they said, if you had the opportunity to play with artists of the day or artists of yesteryear, who would you choose? Oh man, my list was like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was like Luther Allison, B.B. King, Albert King, because now you know, Albert King was one of my favorites, man, because I loved the way that he played. He was Stevie Ray Vaughan's idol too, but he was just so great, man, and I would just like all of them guys, man, I would just love to, those guys I'd never be able to play with, but that would be a dream come true if I could. Today, I mean, some people I played with that I would love to play with again. You know, got a friend of mine, Walter Trout, you know, Buddy Guy, Johnny Lane, just different people like that, and Ronnie Baker Brooks and Bernard Allison, and, you know, they're my brothers, you know what I mean? The thing is, in this blues community, man, we're all like family. You know what I mean? We all like family because, you know, it's a handful of us playing this, doing this thing called the blues. You know what I mean? It ain't like rap, hip hop, where thousands of everybody's trying to do it. You know what I mean? So it's just a handful of us, man, that are still doing it. So the list goes on and on who I would love to play with right now.
Well, if you were talking to an artist who's up and coming or who wants to get into music and start playing the blues, what would you advise them to do?
Well, first I would tell them to go back, listen to the masters. I would pick up some old B.B. King records. I would tell them to pick up some Luther Allison, some Albert King, some Buddy Guy. And because I remember sitting down in front of the stereo with a mic and a mic stand and sitting in a chair listening to some Luther Allison records and copping note for note and trying to sing. I remember that. So, you know, my thing to them is to go back and listen to the masters. Because the thing is that even though you listen to the masters and you try to cop what they're doing, ultimately, the style that you're going to come up with is going to be you. It may be some of them in your style, but it's you that's playing it. So it's not going to be completely as like them. You know, so I would always tell them to go back to the masters and learn from that and work their way up. You know, because that's where it all started. You know, that is really all where it all started. And that would be the best route that I would choose anybody to play. You know, because a lot of times I've been to jams, and you know, these young kids that get there and they start doing all the fast stuff and hard rock stuff and all of that. And I'm like, okay, man, I hear you, but I really didn't understand a thing that you just played. You know, well, because really, I mean, B.B. King and Buddy Guy said it best. You know, I know B.B. King could do more with three notes than most guys can do with 10. You know, it's because of the passion, you know, what they played and how they played it. You know what I mean? That's just it. You know, the passion, how they played it, and the tastefulness of the notes and the thing that they played. Because, I mean, you can watch Buddy Guy and, you know, and he can do so much with in the middle of these three or four notes. And some guys can do with 10 notes all over the thing. You know, it's a YouTube video out there where, you know, Slash, you know, great guitar player, played with Michael Jackson, all of that, but he also has the ultimate respect for B.B. King. And then it's like one time he came on and he did some stuff and, you know, he played a lot of notes. B.B. comes out, hits one damn note, and the whole audience goes, ah. you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's not all about a whole lot of notes. And I'm going to share this little story with you. In 2005, I had a stroke. So when I had that stroke, I had to learn. It took me almost a year and a half, 2 years to get all my faculties back. My whole right side was affected. You know, my right hand couldn't keep up with my left hand, but I was persistent. And within a year and a half or 2 years, I had all my faculties back. And you know, with playing. But the thing that did for me, because here I was, I had to learn to sing again, play again, you know, write again, all of those things. And so in the process of that, what that made me look at, it made me, because, you know, all guitar players get to a place where, you know, they're trying to see how fast they can be. You know what I mean? I mean, they just do. I mean, after some years, you know, you know, what else is for me to do? You know, let me see how fast I can go. You know, but at that moment, at that time, I couldn't go fast. I had enough trying to make my right hand keep up with my left hand. So it made me look back on why I started to play from the very beginning. You know, it's all about the feeling. It's all about the love of the music. It's all about the notes that I play, making sense with the notes that I play. You know, the melody, just all of that. You know what I mean? It took me back there. So it was a wake-up call for me in a lot of ways, you know, with that stroke, you know, as far as health too, but, you know, I mean, as far as why I started playing, you know, and I just, you know, and I respect the guitar. I respect the guitar, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I've always said that, I mean, music besides being a universal language and everybody can listen to, you don't have to have speak the same language, just listening to the music.
Right.
But music exactly. is music is the lifeblood and the health and what keeps us going. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, if I'm not feeling well, I'll have some chicken soup. Okay, great. But right. if I want to feel fantastic, I've got to listen to the music. And listening to your story about music driving you to health and going back to learn where you came from.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing very well, man. I'm doing very well. I go to the gym every day. And I mean, that has helped me too. I mean, the whole thing about the blues, period, it's a feel. It's just like with any music feel. You know, it's not the easiest thing. You have to pay dues. You have to be determined, dedicated, you know. So my dedication to my health, my music, I owe all that to the blues and my determination and drive and being driven, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man. It's beautiful, man. I mean, you know, it's just like anything else. Well, you know, the blues and playing music, period, you got to pay dues, man, you know. And, you know, if it was that easy, everybody could do it. You know, and the thing is, you got to be committed and you got to be determined and driven to do it, because my biggest joy, yeah, I love playing. I mean, when I'm on the stage, Aaron, and I'm playing, man, I'm in another zone. My eyes going back in the back of my head and just everything. I know the people are out there, but I'm just in my own zone right there. You know what I mean? But my biggest joy about it all, going all over the world, different countries, sharing this music that God has given me, and just seeing the expression and appreciation of the people for this music. You know, it's just, there's nothing else like it. There's nothing else like it. You know, I've played places where, you know, I remember I played in Nashville one time, and you know, I was playing at Printer's Alley in Nashville, Bourbon Street, in Printer's Alley at Bourbon Street. And a girl came in there, and I guess she must have had a bad experience or a bad night with her boyfriend, and they had broke up. And so she came to my show, and we played. And, you know, I do a little thing where I, on my wireless guitar, and, you know, I sit on women's laps, so I sit down at the table with them, and I sing to them, and I talk to them. And she was interviewed after the end of the show, and she said, I thought my life was over when I came in here. I had such a bad night, blah, 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 blah. She said, but after seeing his show and listening to his music, I feel better. You know, and that made me feel good, but it was also something for me to learn, you know, about how my music affects people, you know? I can talk to you forever about this blues. I mean, if I talk deep and emotionally enough, like I'm starting to get now, Aaron, you're going to make me have tears in my eyes.
Well, but you know, blues, people think are all about sadness, but it's about happiness too.
It is, man. The blues is the happy blues, the sad blues. And see, that's the confusion, where the confusion comes in at, because you know, when people hear the word blues for so long, what they thought about was the old man in the rocking chair with the acoustic guitar on the porch singing about "All My Baby Left Me." You know, you know what I mean?
I do.
That's all that they think about. You know, and it's much more than that. You know, it's much more than that. You know what I mean? And so yeah, man. So. And I mean, in my music, sure, I can do some traditional. I can do some slow blues with a message, you know, and all of that. But most of my music is like up-tempo, telling the story, putting a laugh on your, a smile on your face. You know, I got a song called 10 Toes Up, 10 Toes Down. I don't need to explain to you what that is, but...
It's rocking the blues.
You already know.
It's rocking the blues.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it is, and it is, you know. I mean, that was a song I did years ago, but people still love to hear it. You know what I mean? And every time I play it, I get the smirk and the smiles on women's faces when I play it. You know what I mean? So
we're lucky enough to have Chris Beard with us here on the Juke Joint. He's performing at 9 Wallace this coming Friday. And if you go to Gimme Live, you can get tickets. And so when you write, how do you go about writing? Do you write a tune first, the melody? Do you write the words? Do you do a little bit of both?
A little bit of both, Aaron, because, well, when I start writing a song, I got an idea of what kind of song I'm writing. So, you know, like I mentioned, the song Ten Toes Up, Ten Toes Down, that song can't help nothing but be up to me. You know what I mean? Just by the name itself, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I come up with the tune first. If I start writing, I mean, I just go back a few, just pick a song, because I've done so many. A song I did called Delivery Man, which is on my first CD. Well, I just happened to be sitting down watching a old show on TV, and one of the guys in the show was a delivery man, like a UPS guy. But when I talked the idea of delivery man, I didn't go with him. I went with a relationship and a woman. Well, you know, and it talks about, I want to be your delivery man, baby. I want to do whatever I can. You know, the last man you had, I know he treated you bad. Left you home crying, sitting around feeling sad. I want to be there to relieve you, baby. You know, I want to be your delivery man. I want to bring sweet love to you. You know what I mean? So it depends. Because then when I would think of writing a song like that, that could be nothing but a slow blues song. You know, because the message, then I talk about, I want to rub you down with, you know, with hot oil, baby. From head to toe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so that's all about a love song. And, you know, that song was off my first CD. Do you know I still get royalties for that? I have my own Pandora channel, which I've had for a while. But I look, or every time I see somebody, you know, I just about a week ago or something, I was getting my hair cut, and this lady was in there picking up her son. And some people were talking about music, and she says, every morning I get up and I turn on the Pandora channel and I just listen to this one song. And then somehow they were talking and stuff, and then the guy mentioned who I was in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, well, I heard that name before. She said, wait a minute, you're Chris Beard. And then she got all upset, you know, started laughing and, you know, and jittery and everything. And she said, I listen to one of your songs every morning. What is that song? What is that song? What is that song? And then I start calling them off, because I know what song, you know, what songs that I have that are being played, because I get royalties from them still. And I mentioned it, and she said, oh, my God, yeah, that's my song. I listen to that song every morning, you know? Yeah, music is a message, man. And the thing about writing a song is about telling a story, you know? And people need to be able to relate to the story. Because when a person can relate to the story, then you're going to create more listeners. You know, you're going to create more people for sale, for buying your product, and just you becoming a favorite of that fan. You know what I mean? So
that must have been really, really gratifying that they're talking about you and they don't even know they're talking about you, because they can't remember your name, but they remember your music.
Right. Exactly. And it is, man. And, you know, it's pretty gratifying to know that you're being appreciated that much for your music and who you are. And then what it also does, because, Darren, to be honest with you, I mean, you know, like I said, this is not a easy feel, because if it was, everybody would be doing it. And sometimes, like in life, we have ups and downs, you know, and then with having those ups and downs or something, sometimes we get feeling a little down and, you know, things ain't going as well as they should, or you're not where you think you should be, you know, your career or where you should be. And then it seems like the creator, the man upstairs, puts situations in your life like that to reassure you of your talent, of where you are, you know what I mean, with your music and how appreciated you are, you know what I mean. So it all seems to work out. Yeah, so that was a great feeling. It's always a great feeling, man, to know that. I mean, you know, just within the last couple of days when I'm, you know, I'm talking to different people up there, radio up there, and you've got in your guys' area, you know, and then the first thing I said, oh, I got a couple of your CDs, and oh, I just love your music. You know, you don't know how heartfelt that made me feel. You know what I mean? To know that the New England area still supports me. I mean, I've played there before. I used to play there a lot. You know what I mean? And but it's been a while. You know what I mean?
So how many dates are you doing a year these days?
Lately I've been at some personal stuff with my mom, so I've kind of cut back a little bit. But I'm headed up on now probably about 150 right now, and I'm working on a new project. You know, I've got a song, just a hint, called "Pass It On Down." Me and my dad, and you know, and then I got, you know, it's just great. I'm just so excited about the new project that I'm doing. I mean, because if it was up to me, I mean, B.B. King was the hardest working man in show business. He worked 340, 50 days a year. You know what I mean? And I don't know if I want to do that many, but I haven't gotten to the point, Aaron, where I can tell you I'm tired. See, I've gotten to the point where I could be on the road for 3 weeks, say I want to go home, but by the time I come home, if I be home a week, I'm ready to go again. You know, because I love what I do. You know, I really do, man. I love what I do. So, yeah. I mean, it comes to a point where it's about money, but it's not about money. It's about money because it's my profession and it's my job. But it's nothing like having a job that you enjoy going to.
So you're playing in Nine Wallace on Friday. Where are you going to be on the weekend?
Saturday, I'm playing at the Great Barbecue Blues Challenge Festival in Bangor, Maine. And then Sunday, I'm playing at the Brick House in Scarborough, Maine.
So keep it on the Northeast.
Yep.
So the new project you're working on, any idea of when that may come out?
I'm looking at about after the first of the year.
So people should anticipate that, and you know, maybe you'll have they need to go to your website, keep up with where you're going to be, and your shows, and maybe people can, you know, it's only a couple months away. They can pre-order for the holidays your music that's coming out in the spring.
That's right, man. You can go to my website, chrisbeardmusic.com, and you can go to my Facebook page, Chris Beard Band page. There's Twitter. I have Twitter with my Instagram. You can go to all that. You can go to my website and find out all that information. I appreciate your support, everybody's support. Sign up for the mailing list and everything, because there's going to be a lot of shows coming up. And I'm just excited about the new project that I'm working on.
It sounds fantastic. And, I mean, I don't want to keep you too long, but I want people to get out there. One, sign up for your Pandora's site,
right.
You know, and get out on Friday, see you at Nine Wallace. And then, of course, if you're in Maine, the two events there, and looking forward to your brand new project. And if you can hold on for a minute after we get off, talk off the air for a couple seconds. But love having you on. Glad you're coming back. Glad you're feeling well. And
oh, man, I'm great. Fantastic.
And all good thoughts to your parents and your mom. And, you know, we only want the best.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you, man. Yep.
So bear with me for a second.
Sure.
Going to throw some music on and come right back with you.
All right, brother. All right, my man. Thanks.